And we're back, Stripe Show Podcast, on a Tuesday. I'm your host, Travis Fulton. Thank you for making us part of your day. Just when you thought that golf couldn't get any bigger, couldn't get any more interesting, this morning, I think the most surprising news of it all has been dropped. And if you have a phone, if you have a TV, if you have a radio, if you have any sort of communication, you probably know by now that the PGA Tour, DP World Tour, and the PIF, LIV Golf, have announced a newly formed commercial entity to unify golf. There is a merger, folks. They are all coming together, and I'll be completely honest with you. This has completely shocked me, and joining me on a Tuesday, Key Stewart, read the line. Are you with me, or are you you see this coming?
I think I'm as shocked as I was February 23rd when Tiger rolled his Genesis, and my phone has reacted accordingly. We're going to find out over the next 48 hours that Twitter is still undefeated. This will be entertaining.
Yeah, this will be entertaining. Everybody's going to have an opinion on this. And of course, you go just a year ago. I got to thinking back at the Canadian Open, of course, which is this week. We might get to that, folks. Usually on a Tuesday, we share some of our best bets. And if you follow the podcast, you know Keith is on an absolute heater right now. He's got 6 wins this season, 18 total in the last year and a half. He picked Victor Hovland last week. Of course, I was very much a part of Denny McCarthy, and well, Hovland wins. So there you have it. That's why he's the professional at this, and I'm just, you know, an amateur. But nonetheless, we might give you a few picks here in a second, but we want to talk about this this merge. And Twitter will be undefeated. There's a lot going through my head. I'm shocked. Of course, my phone's has been blowing up. And just a year ago, you know, I think back to Jay going on the set with Jim Nance and basically drawing the line in the sand and saying that you're either with the PGA Tour or you're going to be with LIV Golf. He referenced PIF and Saudi Arabia government and all the things that that they're aligned with, and of course 9/11, and so it was a heartfelt message, and they've been steadfast that the PGA Tour will continue. They've layered in suspensions to those players that joined the LIV and took the money, and here they are now going on television just a couple hours ago announcing that they've merged 1 year later. I mean, it is crazy, right? I mean, crazy. I just think back. The first thing that I think of right now, I think of Rory McIlroy, right? Who has been an absolute punching bag, to the media out there and to Twitter and all that, to being out there, the face of the PGA Tour. I'm sure many meetings with a lot of the players and saying, this is the direction that we're going, these elevated events, et cetera, et cetera. You can imagine how much money Rory turned down from LIV. I mean, it had to be close to 400, 500 million. I mean, Tiger was rumored at 800 million. If DJ's getting 2.25, I'm going to guess Rory's got to be between 400 and 500 million. Hideki was 300 million. I think about him today. I think about Ricky Fowler today, who rumored was 75 million. I think about the decisions that they made to stay with the PGA Tour, the loyalty to the PGA Tour, the legacy, everything that we stand for. And then today, the commissioner goes on and says, no, we're going to take the money. We're going to take the money from the LIV and we're going to bring it into this merger, and it's going to make us as strong as we have ever been. Man, if I'm Rory, if I'm Ricky, if I'm Hideki, I am beside myself today.
I mean, I'll give you one. How about Will Zalatoris? Offered $100 million, and now he's got season-ending back surgery. All right. I mean, if that's really what's going on, you know, I got a lot of questions, Travis, but if that's really what's going on with all of this, it's never that simple. You know, at the end of the day, all pressure is self-induced, Like, don't, let's not lose sight of the fact there's a couple things when the press release came out from the PGA Tour this morning and I got it in my inbox. There's a couple things that really, like, in the language that really struck me as interesting, to say the least. And the use of the words for profit for the new entity.
Yep.
Is one. And I wonder, you know, the first bullet point was this is the end of all litigation. This is the end of the lawsuit.
Yep.
Both sides had a lot to lose in that lawsuit. Whether you're the PGA Tour in discovery talking about antitrust, or you're the LIV side and talking about God knows what, right? I mean, their side's hemorrhaging money. The PGA Tour is giving out more money than they ever have, and they can't compete. I don't know. There's a lot of layers to this onion, my friend.
There is. And so the non-for-profit, it sounds like will be changed for profit.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know how else you could take it if you're a player that currently stayed on the PGA Tour that was offered a lot of money. I'm like, I don't know how else you could take it. And rumor has it, by the way, from multiple sources, some that I've received via text here in Ponte Vedra, a lot of the professionals that live here, Cam Smith being one of them, I think from the LIV Golf side, I don't think the players knew. I think from the PGA Tour players side, they didn't know either. Like, this came as 100% a surprise. I mean, can you imagine waking up? Colin Morikawa put out, wow, morning news, you know, out here on Twitter. Can you imagine? I mean, Morikawa, what was he offered? I'm sure he had money on the table. Xander Schauffele. And you're like, okay, what? Right, you pull up Twitter and refresh. And here it is, PGA Tour, DP World Tour. PIF, they announced that they're together. They're going to merge. I mean, okay, did I miss something? Did I miss a memo last night? Did I miss a phone call? Did I miss something? And look, and keep in mind, the PGA Tour is a player-ran organization, right? I mean, quote unquote, this is the players. Yeah, the players run the tour. And now a decision like this and the players – don't even know. I mean, my goodness, this is like my head is blown completely on not only the news, but I think more importantly than that, like how the news was handed down to, or the lack of thereof, the news was handed to the players.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of reminds me of like word not getting out for the finale of The Bachelor or something. I mean, at the end of the day, it's, I was there last week, Travis, you know that.
Yeah.
You know, I was out at Mirfield Village, and it'd be one thing if it was a designated event, 120 players. It'd be one thing if a dozen guys could keep their mouths shut, but there's 120 players there, and you didn't get a sense of this at all from the grounds walking around.
No.
Maybe that's why Rory shot 75 on Sunday. Maybe he had breakfast with Jay. I don't know, you know, but at the end of the day, I'm sure this is a surprise to many people involved with the tour and certainly in the media room with a lot of, I've got a lot of really, really, you know, wonderful friends there.
Yeah.
And, the texts this mornings were, do you have any idea? And, people don't ask that if they had an idea.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, man, I mean, this large of a decision, right. That's going to shape the future of the PGA Tour. And of course, you know, Jay was on TV this morning with the chairman from the PIF. I don't think Commissioner Pelley was on there from the DP World Tour and talking about, hey, yeah, I mean, roses, man. Everything's great. You know, everything's great. We're coming together, strengths in the tour, world-class game, golf's growing better than ever. It's going to be a world. I mean, like, yeah, what's everybody's problem? Right? Like, this is great. This is great. I just... a lot of money, I'm sure, that's being invested into this, right? From PIF. We know that there's no shortage when it comes to that bank account. And now that money is going, as it appears, with this merger, is being injected into this merger, and the PGA Tour is going to benefit from this. And of course, the guys that left, you know, they look like geniuses. I mean, Phil Mickelson. I mean, as much criticism he takes, I mean, you got to give the guy credit. And certainly he knew a lot. Sounds like some things that were going to come out, and now this, I'm sure Some of that will be muffled a little bit. But Phil Mickelson looks good. Brooks Koepka looks good. Dustin Johnson looks good. They took the money, right? And it sounds like there might be a little bit of a fine to get back in, and they can come back to the PGA Tour. I can only imagine Cam Smith right now in the golf cart at TPC Sawgrass and driving to the back of the range. Boop, boop. Hey, guys. How you doing? You know, he's in the back of the
room.
Yeah, he's going to be taken. He probably parked in Scotty Scheffler's parking spot. Texas Scotty and said, hey, I'm taking this spot today. You know, he's in the back of the range right now just loving life, smoking a cigar, having a drink, hitting balls in the back of the range perhaps. But it just
– just as an aside there, Travis, right? It's, you know, that paragraph in the press release, notably – blah, blah, blah. The folks will be allowed, you know, we will reevaluate the rules for which that they can have status again. How interesting would it be if they had to qualify? Is that totally out of the realm? Am I crazy?
Qualify for LIV?
No, if they had to qualify for the PGA Tour. If you resigned, right?
I mean, at this point,
would people stand for that?
At this point, nothing's going to surprise me. Right. Yeah. At this point, nothing's going to surprise me. I go back a year or two ago and, you know, of course I have big deep ties to Seattle sports, and people are texting me, you know, are they going to trade Russ and this? There's no way in the world they would ever trade Russell Wilson. Right. A week later, boop, like, oh my God.
Let's ride.
Let's ride.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I get this, and the same questions, right? Over the last couple of weeks, yeah, the PGA Tour and LIV, you think they'll ever merge? There's no way in the,
watch yourself.
It's all possible, right? It's everything is possible. And the word that really is lost in all this at the end of the day is loyalty, right? Like what good does loyalty really give you anymore? You know what? You're an employee. I can remember a young teacher, you know, coming into the group that I was starting with as a teacher, you know, be loyal to us. Think big picture. Right. Yeah. And this and that. And okay, you know, you're willing to run through the door for this amount of money. You see the big picture, you buy in. Yeah, they're here to take care of me, right? The loyalty of staying with the PGA Tour and some of these players and the legacy. And this is what it's all about. It stands for the right things. We're not gonna take the money and go there. It's dirty money. It's this, it's that, it's this. Boom. 2 weeks later, look what happens. Right? Loyalty didn't pay off for these players. There's no loyalty. PGA Tour is not being loyal back, at least in my eyes, from what I'm seeing. Do you agree or no?
I just don't know. How do we know that Rory won't get compensated down the road from the PIF for being loyal? I mean, everyone assumes that. Everyone always assumes that the world stacked against them. You know, I'm curious about all of this. It's such an obvious business decision. It's such a, I mean, did the leader of the PIF just not want to fire Greg? Because this obviously did, right?
Well, Greg, real quick, Greg Norman, that is, just found out before they went on and announced it on TV.
Yeah, I saw apparently. That. But
yeah, he just told him before they went on. So supposedly Greg didn't even know.
Which is great in its own right. But at the end of the day, we don't know how this whole thing's going to shake out. And I know that nobody likes that as an answer. And but it's such a business decision. The for-profit thing really strikes a chord with me because as a member of the PGA of America, we have been non-for-profit forever. So we've lacked all the basic benefits of all the other types of large, you know, unionized organizations, right? So for me, when I hear all of this, My head immediately goes to like, well, it's this big business, right? At the end of the day, you know, I mean, you live down the road from PGA Tour headquarters. They got a whole nother building going up right next door.
They do.
You know,
that's the media center, right? That's where they're going to be.
Yeah, I know. But someone's got to pay for that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I know it may sound too simplistic to a lot of people listening to this, but folks, that's the facts.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, the NFL is a $10 billion business.
Yep.
You may love whatever team you may love your Seattle Seahawks, or maybe you like the Broncos now. I don't know. Maybe not.
No.
But, you know, at the end of the day, that's what this is all about.
Yeah.
It is all about. And Man, you got to wonder what some of the pressures are, you know?
It is. And I think it goes back to loyalty, right? If you're a member of the tour or you're an employee of a business, and, you know, look, every business is a little bit different, but at the end of the day, I think it goes back to, you got to take care of yourself, right? Like, sure. You know, the decisions that a lot of these guys made, like, I didn't criticize these guys leaving to take the money. I mean, I didn't. Now, do I like watching LIV Golf for what it stands for right now? I don't. It's just not for me. But I don't criticize the players that went and took the money, you know? So I don't like, they have to take care of themselves. That's who they are. And that's the way the world works. But then on the other side, that you have the PGA Tour and its entity of, okay, drawing the line. Look, you're either with them or us, period. You know, I mean, the ultimatum, and there it is. You go there, boom, you get, you're getting suspended. And so you're forced to make a decision. And a lot of these guys make a decision and they lose a lot of money. We're not talking a million or two. We're talking millions. I mean, we're talking 75 million, Hideki, 300 million, Rory, four. I mean, it just goes down the list of players. Tiger, 800 million. What's Tiger? Line one. You have Tiger Woods on the line. Jay, you there? Tiger Woods is on the line. Line one. He wants to. Yeah. I mean, can you imagine the calls and being fielded right now, considering what has happened? But it is a business, and so they're going to make decisions that's going to benefit their business, right? And that's what's going to happen. It's just crazy, though. I think that the players, I think there's two things here. One is, it sounds like, you know, Greg didn't know, so the PGA Tour reached out to PIF and they want to do business with them. Like, they didn't want Greg in the room.
No.
So where's Greg's role in this long term? I mean, even the answers that they were having seemed a little bit shaky. Like, we're not dealing with Greg. We'll have a discussion, but we're not, no, get him, you know. And so Greg didn't even know this was coming down. But you're a player and organization. None of the players know. Man. I got Lee Hodges coming on tomorrow, by the way, folks. Stripe Show podcast. Lee Hodges playing great golf. I had this big long thing on him. He's playing the RBC Canadian Open. I've been out in front with him, and his iron game's getting better. And like Denny McCarthy, we've been talking about, a win might be coming. And he's a guy that I like this week. By the way, you know, usually on a Tuesday, we've got some new people joining us here today. Thank you for being here, Stripe Show Pod. We do this Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Keith Stewart at Read the Line. Go follow him. If you like money, you listen on Tuesdays because Keith picks the winner pretty much every week, which is fantastic. So on that note, real quick, could you give us a minute, maybe perhaps a couple players? Cause I want to come back. I got to come back to this, and we've got a guest joining us here in 10 minutes, Flushing It on Twitter. If we call him Flush, he's got a great handle on Twitter, by the way, go follow him. And he's been on the podcast before. He's really tied in with a lot of DP World Tour players. He was a former tour player of himself. He's got a lot. He's got some insight. He'll be joining us here in 10 minutes. But before we get to him, you got to give us a couple of players. And I'm sure the next two names out of his mouth, folks, one of these guys is probably going to win.
All right. Three of the last 5 weeks, we've had the winner. The coolest thing is that the last three wins we've had at Read the Line, I've been on site for. So
you have.
Get to celebrate, which makes the travel somewhat nice. Couple things. Oakdale Golf and Country Club, 117 years of the Canadian Open, one of the longest standing golf traditions here in North America. So they move around every year, much like we're going to see LACC North next week, and I'll be out there in Los Angeles. Oakdale Golf and Country Club is an accuracy test. Think of it a lot like the guys that make their way around Pebble Beach or Wiley or Harbortown. Mm-hmm. It's very much positional. It's very narrow. I spoke to Ian Andrew, who is the most recent renovator of the golf course. He's a Canadian golf course architect. He's a friend of mine. He worked on St. George's last year, which was the host, and he did all the major renovation work at Oakdale. They have three nines there, 27 holes that they put into a composite routing for the championship. So make sure you're paying attention to what golf courses they're playing, because it's a combination of all three. And it's really a cool place right there in Toronto. I think it's very much favors a Wentworth style, Parkland style type golfer, a really good iron player, a guy that can capitalize from 100 to 150 yards on approach. So a really good wedge player scoring wise. And I got a couple names for you at the top, middle, and bottom. Or, you know, we love our long shots, right? So here's a couple, right? The word, well, up until today, the most popular word in all of golf was rose. So yeah. I love a little Justin Rose this week, right? He's sitting there right under 20-1, which is where we won with Victor last weekend. Yep. So depending on the board, you could see him at plus 1800. I think it might be Tommy Fleetwood's time. I see him very engaged this week in this, and I see a lot of guys looking ahead, and obviously we see Rory probably looking over his shoulder. So I think with a week before a big major championship, maybe it's a time for Tommy to sneak in. The skill set really fits. Last five starts, he's gaining, you know, over six tee to green. Good short game too. Really kind of fits this accuracy test overall. In the middle of the board, I'm excited about Eric Cole.
Yes.
I loved Eric Cole at Memorial, had him top 40. Guy goes, you know, top 20. Guy's unbelievable. And what I love most about it is that he showed up, played 36 holes on Monday, qualified for the U.S. Open out there in Columbus against a very difficult field, 10 birdies and an eagle in 36 holes. He's playing very, very well. The short game, the putter's hot, and he's great on approach. Seems like a good fit for me. He's in the middle of the board at 66. And then a little further down the road, I'm going to go after a DFS value play that everybody loves to talk about, especially when you're on the West Coast. But you would know this, Travis. He's playing great right now, especially on approach, and that's Mark Hubbard.
Okay.
And he's sitting right around 110-1. So, you know, if I'm going to go triple digits, I want a guy that's proven to me that he's contended before and that he's been in the limelight. And with a little less media involved and coverage in place for this weekend up there in Toronto, it could be a place for a Cole or Hubbard to slide up there. And that right there is going to be my card.
I like Cole. I like Cole. Rory, of course, a favorite, two-time champ, 5-1.
Yep.
I mean, Rory today. I mean, he can.
That's it, folks. The gambling conversation is over. It's all done. Read the line if you need anything more. We're going back to Ponte Vedra.
This might be your first time in 2 weeks you hadn't mentioned Terrell Hatton. No, he's in there at 11. Burns putting some things together. Fitzpatrick played well last week at Memorial. Cameron Young's putter is a disaster right now.
The only reason Cameron Young is there is because RBC. Let's be honest. Otherwise, he would be prepping for LACC. And that's what I mean by looking ahead. Fleetwood's there for his first PGA Tour win.
Yeah.
All right? Guys like Hatton, Rory, Cam Young, they know what's happening next week. Seems like a distraction.
I like Lowry. I feel like Lowry has worked through his putting woes. His head's above water now with the putter. His iron game has been very sharp the last 2 weeks. So I'm going to add Lowry to the card. Shane Lowry's at 20. That makes me a little uncomfortable, but I do like Lowry. There's Ludvig Åberg. He was on the pod a couple weeks ago. Number one amateur in the world. He probably saw what Rose Zhang did.
Rose Zhang's not walking through this door, okay? Stop it. Just stop yourself right there, all right? Oh, go back to the live conversation.
Yeah, Rose, man, how impressive is that girl? You know, I mean, my goodness, she is impressive. 20-year-old, first time out, gets the win. Remember this name, folks, Ludvig Åberg, first event as a pro. He was on the pod a couple weeks ago. Wonderful guy. I mean, wonderful young man. Huge fan. He's 50-1. I'm not betting him to win, but he's in the field. All right, enough on that. Lee Hodges. I like Lee too. Seb, I like where Lee's going. I think Lee was there. Like he kind of got his feet wet a little bit late Sunday there at the Memorial, backed it up, finished. I think he was T8 somewhere in there.
So he's head to head. He was great over the weekend against two very difficult pairings. He had plus odds both days. You could have cleaned up there. Hodges was great.
One of the things that we like to do on the podcast is on Wednesday we have a guest and it's a tour event, and that's my son in the back, just finished with junior camp. Now he's going to play cornhole here in the About Golf Simulator. These guys were unaffected today. I was like, hey guys, big news in golf. They're like, what? And they just kept going. And so they don't even care. As a young golfer in today's world, Ludvig, you couldn't be turning pro at a better time. My goodness, all this money that's being injected, right? I mean, you are walking into all the opportunity in the world.
Hey, let me close the betting conversation with this.
Okay.
Hey, what the news today couldn't be any better for our Tuesday podcast or for my world primarily, right? The events that we're going to get to handicap are going to be so elite, competitive, and entertaining. It's going to be just like it was on Sunday. I mean, how much fun was that? McCarthy versus Hovland in a playoff.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. Yeah. It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah, and I had all this stuff prepared to kick off the show with Hovland. I was texting back and forth with his coach, Joseph Mayo, who I've known for years. And all of the stuff that they worked on, some really interesting things from a short game perspective. I shared some of them on Twitter, and I'm going to share some more on Instagram throughout the week. But, man, his short game has definitely improved. He will be up there in L.A. at the U.S. Open here in another week as the boys get back together, right? PGA Tour live, like no more animosity. There's no more lawsuits. Patrick Reed's going to be walking around blowing bubbles. You know, I mean, that guy. That guy.
Best text
Patrick Reed.
Best text I got this morning. Can I still hate Patrick Reed? Best text.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so let's transition forward because Flushing is going to join us here in about 5 minutes. Let's and thank you for that on your picks. Let's transition forward because I think you can feel one way about the way that things have transpired when it comes to how the PGA Tour has handled it, what LIV Golf has been able to accomplish, what it looks and feels like. Is that for you or not as a fan? The fragmentation of the sport. And then all of this comes down now with the merge, right? And you can certainly empathize a little bit with some of these players. And some of these players looks like they made a better decision than others financially when it comes to things. So you can have your opinion on that. But now let's transition forward. What does this look like into next year and then 5 years down the road, right? As a fan, what does this look like? Now, for me, the first place that I'll go with you, Keith, as we do every Tuesday, is from the gambling standpoint. This is going to be great for gambling on golf, getting these guys back together, the money injected into this worldwide. I mean, this is going to be great for gambling. It's also going to be great for the chain smokers, right? Because the chain smokers has great relationships with PGA Tour and LIV Golf. So the chain smokers probably just signed a deal where they're going to be doing a concert every single week at every one of these events all over. So look, gambling, chain smokers, this is a big deal, isn't it?
Black Eyed Peas are playing the RBC Canadian Open this week, just in case anyone was wondering. True story. So the money's already there, at least from a betting perspective. But the way that I see that this is so powerful for our Tuesday show or just the conversation in general is that instead of it being, you know, a diversified conversation, do you go LIV, do you go PGA Tour or whatever, now everything's coming together. Mm-hmm. And the only thing golf betting needs more of is attention.
Yeah.
Right? Because 70-1 is still going to pay a 70-1, right? Mm-hmm. The long odds and the short pay window is still there. All the different options, the in-play, the live betting, all of that fun is there. But now people are going to start to see it more and more and more. And what we do and what I do specifically is just going to continue to go through the roof. So we're almost going to hit a hockey stick of growth at this point, you know? So as we're going across, it's gone, right? Yeah. It's through the roof. So. Yeah. The money for the payments is the same, but the opportunity for the game to grow through this narrative, which is why I do this in the first place as a PGA professional, is astronomically better.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be huge. It really is. And then I think, you know, and I think on the second side of that, and my biggest thing with this whole thing that I just hated was the fragmentation of the players being spread out.
Yeah.
And so now we're going to get the band back together. That's a wonderful thing. I mean, getting these guys, I miss watching Dustin Johnson play golf. You know, I watch LIV a little bit. It's just not for me, the way that it's presented, the casualness of it, of kind of declaring all these points and, you know, this is the way we're going to identify a professional. I mean, all right. Like that's just that this is not the time for that right now. And nor will it have to be in the future because all, you know, the stuff is merging together. But getting these guys back together is a good thing. I mean, getting DJ back in the mix, getting Cam Smith back in the mix, playing with Justin Thomas and Xander Schauffele and all these guys. I mean, the fields are going to be fantastic. Brooks Koepka, healthy, playing well again, not only competing in the four major championship against the best, but now probably 15, 17, 20 times a year. We'll see what that schedule looks like next year and into the future. So we get the band back together. That's a good thing. Now, what does all that look like, right? How does the PGA Tour play out their schedule? How does the DP World Tour play out their schedule? How does LIV play out their schedule? is Liv going to be this thing up in, you know, up here that this world tour kind of qualifies up to, and it's these fun events. I don't know. No one knows that. It all speculation at this point. But at the end of the day, I do think the one thing that we can say is going to happen is that we're going to see the best players playing together once again. Now, there's going to be some hard feelings here. There's no question about it. And I think the hard feelings, not so much going to be, I think, amongst the players coming back together. I think no. For the most part, that's was just, you know, overdone as far as how that was portrayed. I think the hard feelings are going to be, yeah, I mean, I think a lot of these players that stayed and with the PGA Tour, it's going to be really hard to look some people in the face and trust them once again on what's on the direction of things. So anyway, on that note, let's bring in our next guest here. And I know you got to jump off here in 15 minutes, Keith.
Yeah.
So a few bets there. There he is joining us now. There he is. Flush.
How you doing?
At Flushing It. Join it. Meet Keith Stewart. We've been kicking this thing around.
Hi, Keith.
Pleasure.
And what a day. Look, you and I have talked. We exchange a lot of DMs. This completely caught us by surprise. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, there was talk about Amanda Staveley getting involved to broker a deal, and I work in the super yacht industry, and I know a lot about her dealings in private equity. She's obviously was involved in brokering a deal with Newcastle United, and I wouldn't be surprised if she had an integral role in sorting peace here, because it's a hell of a U-turn. It's come so quickly. And it has her fingerprints all over it. So that's what I would assume has happened, but I have no inside information to know about.
I know you know a lot of DP World Tour players. And
yes.
And I've been texting here with a few here. I'm in Ponte Vedra, and a lot of PGA Tour players are here. And look, from what I can gather, nobody knew. I mean, PGA Tour players, nobody knew this was coming down. Yeah, how about over there?
Well, I mean, I've spoken to four different team captains from Liv who didn't even know it was happening. I was talking to directors of Liv this morning about something, and they definitely didn't insinuate this was happening. So I assume they didn't know either. So I can only assume again that obviously the PIF and went above their heads and went directly to the tour and kept it. You know, this is probably why it's been so quiet and that nobody heard any rumours. It's because they just went direct and now didn't actually even involve the leadership of Liv, which is pretty crazy.
I got one more and then you can and jump in there, Keith.
Right.
I just kind of vented a little bit about if I'm Rory, if I'm Ricky, if I'm Hideki, if I'm Will Zalatoris. I mean, Keith brought up a great point. Will Zalatoris, I mean, had a lot of money offered. Then he gets hurt, didn't take the money. The guys stay. Loyalty, stay with us because they had to make a decision.
Yeah.
And now it sure seems like the PGA Tour took the money, right? I mean, this is what it looks like. Like they took the money, and so now these guys. Wait a minute. What? You know, like we told not to take the money. Our loyalty to the PGA Tour, and so I'm sure there's some heartache there. Do you get that sense over there with a lot of the DP World Tour players that was there some money offered and they elected to stay? And there's got to be some hard feelings here, I would imagine.
I've heard from several. I'm not going to name any names, but I've heard from several guys which were involved with Liv that went back to the DP World Tour, and they're pretty upset because they were told they went back to the establishment. They turned down the money and the opportunity to play this year, and they went back to the European Tour because that's what they thought was in their best interests. And now they've done a deal. I mean, look at a classic example is Adrian Ategui. He was fined something like, I think it's 450K. He was banned for four events, which started at the Porsche European Open last week. And he's now jeopardising his Ryder Cup chances through this ban when he's going to then be welcomed back to the tour again next year. And all these guys are going to be back. Like the injustice that's going to be served to some of these guys is just blows my mind.
Yeah.
It's not right. I mean, like you said about Rory, but I've obviously been quite critical to Rory, but he's worn his heart on his sleeve and he has been very passionate in defending the PGA Tour. And you can only imagine that he turned down hundreds of millions of pounds. Mm. And to fight what he believed and what he thought was right. And this morning, you know, when he's at the Bears Club or wherever he is this morning, he's got to be livid. Oh, he's in Canada, isn't he? He's going to be absolutely livid. And he's got every right to be. Like, I believe that this happened because look at Phil Mickelson was being very, very confident on his takes about collusion. And he's obviously involved in the DOJ investigation. And I assume that something's come out that's had to make them go this way. And that's why they backtracked and backpedaled so quickly and done this dramatic U-turn. It could be the only answer, in my opinion.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, Flush. But you use the word injustice, which is interesting to me. Does this mean that Liv goes away? And if you were owed money by Liv, you're still getting paid?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Right.
I mean, I know a lot of stuff that I can't talk about, but I can only assume that the contracts are pretty secure, because you'd be a bit naive if, you know, you jumped into bed with this new tour, jeopardised your whole future for hundreds of millions of pounds, and it wasn't a concrete ironclad deal that you get paid this money over the 5 years.
I agree with that, but it always seemed like guys were surprised that they couldn't work their way back to get on tour, or they couldn't get official world golf ranking points. It always just seemed like I had these pictures of guys that were surprised on Liv that they were suddenly, you know, that all of these things weren't just coming to fruition automatically. And now with maybe the question marks surrounding Liv, I just wonder about that side of it. I mean, everyone wants to talk about the money, but how about the money that maybe they haven't received yet? I don't know. It's just an interesting viewpoint.
I'll be surprised if they don't get paid that money. Yeah. I mean, you don't know, but I'll be very surprised. But yeah. I mean, who knows? No one really knows what's happening. What happens to the Asian tour? But what's going to happen to the Asian tour now?
Yeah, that's true.
The Asian tour was their partner. Does that money just... I have no idea. There's so many questions. But what happens, you know, the Golf Channel, like, what does Brandel do in Amman? Like, they've taken this huge stance against Saudi Arabia. And now, are they just not going to report on the PGA Tour now? It's, you know, are they just going to quit their jobs? Like, what happens to the... There's loads of popular podcasts that have been, like, very against the Saudi money. What are they going to do now? I just don't. It's the blowback from this and the fallout is going to be so dramatic. And to be honest, it's a bit of an aggravator on Twitter. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, it's going to be. So. Well, the interviews, I think Sam Ryder just went on Golf Channel now. And I got Golf Channel on the backdrop here and I'm getting a bunch of texts. I think Sam just went on there. But I can only imagine what's going to be said from some of these PGA Tour players over the next couple of days, you know, before they tee it up at RBC and in the next week. I mean, it's just, you can't help but lay this one out. I mean, like, you, even if you're someone who, like, I kind of keep it to myself, I'm fine. But if someone offered me $100 million or $50 million, and I'm kind of that middle tier player or whatever, right? And I had to force to make a decision. I showed my loyalty and alliance to here. And then 6 months later, that entity went around and took the money. Like, I'm pissed. Yeah. And I'm going to put it out there. Right. I mean, I'm going to, like, that's a hard thing to keep indoors. Now, we don't know how all that's going to play out. Maybe there's some money that'll go to, you know, Rory or Rick. I don't know. Who knows? But, that's a tough, tough pill to swallow right there. That's a tough pill to swallow.
But Travis, with that being said, what are their other choices?
What do you mean?
You know, you could be as pissed as you want to be that you lost out on $100 million, but if you want to play the tour's whatever the future tour is the tour, right? So it, at the end of the day, I get it. You know, you could argue the fact that, you know, the loyalty and, you know, pledging allegiance to the tour versus Liv and everything. But really, for me, at the end of the day, this is like just a huge business decision. And what was a players tour is now a for-profit commercial entity, which I didn't see the word players tour anywhere involved in what it is going forward.
Yeah.
I would be more worried about that if I was a player. And if there's a pack or anything else going forward, then I would be about the $100 million that, I mean, yes, I would be worried about the $100 million I lost out on. I get that, right? But going forward, this thing looks like it's going to be way more of a corporate entity. Yeah. And that means the players themselves are going to lose some of the control.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, these different leagues have been floating around now for years. And there was that report about the investment from Endeavor that was, Bryson and, I think it was Bryson and Phil Mickelson went and they were going to potentially invest a billion and it was rejected by the PGA Tour. well, why didn't, you know, why didn't they take that on then? Like, golf's done the same things for hundreds of years, and it needed to change. And they had the opportunity to do this with the, what's it called? The, what was that? The other one, PGL. So they had the opportunity to do it with the PGL. They had the opportunity to do it with Endeavour. And they've now ended up being forced to do it with Saudi Arabia, who they'd probably rather not do business with. But this is, I think the leadership through this whole scenario has been, it's just been failing. Like, I just don't see how Jay Monahan can stay in his job after what he said to now be the commissioner of the new tour. Like, it just blows my mind. Like, this should have happened before now. It should have happened when the money came along. They should have realised this is a good thing for golf, to take this money into the game, to do it our way, and to, you know, work with LIV or the whatever it is, the SGL and the PIF, to move forward in a direction that's good for the game. And instead, we've had a year of fallout, which is completely unnecessary. And now we've finally got to that the stage where they're going to come together and are going to work for a better future. And this should have just happened 2 years ago. And people like Phil and Bryson and Greg Norman, who have taken all this stick and have been absolutely abused on Twitter and social media platforms and by people like Brandel Chamberlain. Like, I've had enough abuse and I've just got a Twitter account. I'd hate to know what these players have been through. It must have affected their lives and their families.
Yeah.
But they, like, seriously, it was also unnecessary. It didn't need to happen. And I think that all of the leadership has failed, that we're finally going in the right direction, and hopefully there'll be a better future for golf.
Well, here you go. Scott Van Pelt, former with Golf Channel and now with ESPN, he tweeted out, he says, "So you preach loyalty to a tour and convince guys not to take 8- and 9-figure deals based in part on that loyalty and in part on the source of the money. And then the guys, then those guys find out on Twitter, you took the very same money." Yeah. Scott Van Pelt. Then he quotes, Nino Brown, "Always business, never personal."
I imagine it's flooding out on Twitter right now. I can't check it because I'm using my phone, but I just imagine the quote.
That was from Scott Van Pelt. Yeah, loyalty, right? Yeah. That gets you a long ways, you know. I mean, all these players have played their way on. They've earned every dime and every opportunity that they've gotten. And I understand what you're saying, you know, Keith, like, where are they going to go? But when your commissioner is like, "Look, this is what we're going to do, right? Like, we're not going anywhere. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And this is the direction that we're going to be heading." And you're sold on that and you buy in, you're loyal, et cetera, et cetera. And now this, I'm probably not believing a word you say, you know, after that. I'm not believing a word you say after that. And that's why you got to take care of yourself. Like, you know, look, you know, Flush, you and I, we went back and forth. You know how I feel. Like, I've been open-minded. I've been open-minded to live. I've been very open-minded. I've had the conversations. It's not for me, the style. Like that's the thing. I don't like the way it's presented, the style of it. It's not for me. But I didn't criticize the players taking the money. Like, I'm not criticizing them. You got to take care of yourself. If someone offered me right now $50 million to, like, wait, what? You know, I mean, sure, I'm going to listen. Absolutely. And you weigh that out. And so you can't criticize people making decisions for who they are, right? You have to take care of yourself, especially when stuff like this happens, especially.
I'm just going to ask a question because I think both of you, I'd love to hear both of your thoughts on it. Is this a good thing for golf fans? Because I think it is.
Yeah. We talked about it earlier.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be – look, the fragmentation of the sport was bad for golf fans. I follow golf religiously, right? We talk about it every single day. I didn't watch LIV that much just because I'm not into that, the whole thing and the team competition, and I'm just not. And so as a loyal fan, I didn't watch those guys as much. And I miss watching those guys in the environment with the rest of the players. So bringing the pack back together, I think is really good for golf. Yeah, it is.
100%. I don't have a crystal ball here, but what makes the most sense to me is that the reason that they're merging is that it allows you to have an elite tour. So everything that the PGA Tour has struggled with trying to form, LIV sort of has the structure of. So if you had like the top 50 in the world, they played on the number one tour. And then there was the PGA Tour, which was a feeder tour, as well as DP World. And then beneath that, you had another Korn Ferry Tour. I mean, now you could really have a much more singular golf ecosystem, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's all speculation, but I mean, think about that. And then if you really wanted to take care of the guys that didn't get the $100 million, you know, when you make it to that tour, maybe you get a $20 million bonus and then you play for $5 million per, you know, first place checks and so on and so forth. So I get super excited about it because bringing everybody back together to play for more money means that these guys, everyone said they wouldn't try harder. They're going to try harder. And we saw 100%. It on Sunday at the Memorial. It's great.
Yeah.
If they're going to dump, they're talking about dumping more billions into it. Everyone's going to get looked after. They're going to have to keep them on side, because otherwise you're going to get a very bitter like Rory McIlroy and Tiger Woods and John Rahm and stuff who's actively defended the tour. They're going to feel very bitter about it otherwise. And I have no doubt they'll get looked after. Just look at the money they're throwing into football at the moment. They spent 2 billion quid on three footballers. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if they throw a few billion the way of the guys which they want to keep in favour for sure. Yeah.
What about that? The PGL? Where does that fit
that's
in?
That's dead, isn't it? That's gone now, isn't it? Surely.
You think?
That's the thing. They've been trying to get this going for, I don't know how many years it was, 4 or 5 years. And because they didn't have the balls of like Greg Norman and the Piff to just throw billions at it and just go, right, we don't care what you think. We're going to fight the establishment. Because they didn't take that line and they tried to be nice, they've ended up losing out. And it's a real shame for them. But it's eventually we've got there, and I really think that the format, people will get into it. It's just like the IPO in cricket, which people didn't like the short format, and all the traditionalists were anti it. But now it's like the biggest thing in the world, and one of the franchises sold for 900 million about 4 weeks ago. So that's just the way this is going to go. It'll be the same as the IPL. There'll be a set time in the year where they'll set out for it, and then you'll keep all your heritage events, and everyone will be better for it, in my opinion.
So the TGL that I'm talking, so TGL, right? I'm sorry, I said it's TGL, not PGL. So the TGL is what I'm talking about. I know you got to jump, Keith. I want to talk to you about this, Flush. Thank you, Keith, for the picks.
Thanks, Keith. Pleasure to meet you, Keith.
Have a great week.
Pleasure to see you, and we'll all know much less tomorrow, I'm sure.
Yeah. Guaranteed.
Godspeed, everybody.
All right. So let me ask you about this. I meant TGL. Sorry. all this money invested in the TGL, right? I mean, I know they're building a complex down in West Palm Beach, you know, Tiger and Rory's enterprise. Monday, kind of that virtual golf. I know a lot of guys have signed on to that, Max Homa, Billy Horschel. And, you know, so where does that fit in, you know, to this whole equation?
How much do you know about this? Because I have a feeling, I mean, I don't know a lot about it, but it feels like some of the big agencies might have been involved in it, like say Excel, who have had nothing to do with Liv at all. They even dropped Thomas Peters as soon as he signed, and obviously rep Tiger and Rory and like podcasts like No Laying Up. And they've taken a very strong stance. So I wonder if they were involved in this decision with the PGA at all, because if they were that adamant, you know, of protecting their players and then binning off Thomas Peters like they have, they probably disagree with what Liv's doing. And I wonder what they have to think about it. It's going to be fascinating. All this fallout, like we said, is just going to be really, really interesting.
Yeah, it is. What it looks and feels like. I mean, to go back to your question, I think it's a valid one. I mean, you know, Keith and I kicked around, from this decision, I think a lot of the heartache that we're going to hear, you know, from the players. I've got Lee Hodges on the podcast tomorrow. He's up in.
Oh, it's a good time.
Yeah, he's up in Canada. So it'll be interesting to see what he has to say. About this, and these players are going to come out and speak, and that'll take its course. But I think as we spin it ahead, right, and what this is going to look like, you know, Keith is really big into the gambling space. Usually that's what we talk about here on a Tuesday, and this is going to be huge for the gambling space. I mean, this is great news, massive. Yeah, this is great news for them. And I think as a fan, just a casual fan, there's going to be some heartache here in the first year, you know, just understanding. And that's the thing with the fragmentation. It's just understanding what the hell's going on, right? And who's playing where and where do I watch it? You know, that's the biggest issue with the fragmentation over the last year, year and a half. Okay. So now you start bringing that together and what that's going to look and feel like as these things merge. I mean, no one knows what it's going to look like. I mean, no one knows what this is going to look like next year and then 2 years from now and how it's going to be branded and positioned and what they're going to be playing for. We know it's going to be a lot of money. What a time to be a professional golfer, right? Ludwig Aberg, we just talked about, he's making his professional debut up in RBC. He was on the pod a couple weeks ago, and I'm just looking at him like, man, you couldn't be turning a professional at a better time. I mean, you got, you know, and he turned down some money. You know, he was offered some money from Liv and said no and went to the PGA Tour. So, all right. So everybody starts to funnel back together. The boys are back, right? They're all back in town. No heartache. Ah, you lost $100 million. You didn't sign. You should have, you know, there's going to be a little bit of that going on, I'm sure, right? A little needling back and forth.
But there's going to be so much more money put into the game that these, yeah. I know they've lost out on that initial signing on bonus, but this is only a good thing for all players. And I genuinely believe that all of the tour players should be thanking Phil Mickelson and Bryson DeChambeau and Greg Norman for sticking their necks out to get this done. Because if they didn't do that and go through the abuse that they have for the last year and it's literally had their characters run through the mud, the game wouldn't have changed for the better like it has now. Because the PGL was getting nowhere and the establishment wouldn't have allowed it to happen.
PGL's going nowhere, yeah. PGL, not TG. You got to keep all this together. Yeah. Folks. It's hard. Like, there's a lot of leagues and new leagues starting. but the PGL, Premier Golf League, was the original concept. And then with PIF and the Saudis, they were a separate entity. And then the TGL is Tiger and Rory's, which is the simulation that'll be played down in West Palm on Mondays. And so we'll see how that plays out as well. Sure seems like a whole hell of a lot of golf, right? That these guys might be signing up to play again. So much for, more money and less golf. I mean, that might be out the door. But yeah, do you have a sense maybe what it might look like in a couple years? I mean, what would you like to see as far as this merge and what it could look like in 2 years?
What I would like to see is the live events turn into entirely team match play and they don't have any individual stroke play at all, just bin off all the world ranking stuff because they don't need it anymore because they're playing other events. Just have teams of four going up against each other in head-to-head match play. And, I mean, how good would that be? You have, like, a European tour, tour team of, like, John Rahm, Victor Hovland, Matt Fitzpatrick, Tyrrell Hatton against like Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, Scottie Scheffler, and like Xander Schauffele. I mean, that would be awesome. Mm-hmm. That's where I hope it goes. And then they dot them out during the season, and then have the big live team final at the end of the year, which carries on with a similar format that they have at the moment. Because I think it works really well. What about you? What would you like to see?
You know, I don't know. I'm impartial on the team competition. I have a hard time with it. You know, I just I'm open-minded to it. Maybe this will put a different spin on it. And so can I get behind a team competition and these points of the team going throughout? We'll have to wait and see. I think I'm excited, Flush, that the DP World Tour, I think, is going to be saved. Right.
I
mean, the DP World Tour was going downhill. The Strategic Alliance, it didn't make sense to me why the DP World Tour did this with the PGA Tour. I thought the DP World Tour would just go into alliance with Liv. They didn't. The deal had to be bad for them. I don't know. It just seemed like that should have been a good fit. They were already doing business in Saudi Arabia, et cetera, et cetera. So as a golf traditionalist, I'm excited that the European Tour, the DP World Tour, I think is going to be safe from through all this. And I'm excited for that. I do think that however they brand it and having this be a little bit more of a global feel, I think is a good thing too, right? And the best players in the world having that schedule where they do play in Europe a couple times. They do play in Australia one time. They do play in Asia a couple times. Right. And that's spread out throughout the year. So I do like the idea of that. I think that serves the game extremely well. We saw the response down in Australia with Liv. That was great. You're going to see the response in Canada this week. They love golf up there. And so the best players in the. Yeah.
Sorry. I was just going to say I was asking about ticket sales earlier for the Liv event in Centurion. And apparently they're through the roof. So it goes to show that even here where we do get a lot of high level golf, well, this will be the first time that I've seen Bryson DeChambeau play in person. And I can't wait to go and watch it.
Yeah.
It's just if they do take the live events around the world, like they have been saying, like the Formula One type of model, it's only a good thing for golf. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, whether you like the league or not, wherever they're playing, what you saw down in Australia is great energy. I mean, that's Yeah. That's great energy around golf, no matter who's playing. I mean, that's good for the sport. And there's countries that are going to support this. I mean, they're going to, if you've got the best players in the world, okay, the top 50 players, all these guys coming back together and they're playing in spots in all of these different continents, it's huge. You know, that's huge. Yeah. And the money's rich for them to go play. That's great for the sport. There's no question about it. But there's just a lot to unpack, you know, and I think we kind of hit on a lot of hits. I'm just fascinated, Flush, to hear the interviews over the next 2 or 3 days from players, right? Yeah. And their thoughts, because it's going to be predominantly, they're not going to be happy. They're just not. I mean, and they're a players association, and then something like this comes down and they don't even know about it, and they have to get the news via Twitter. That's a tough one, you know?
It's true, but they have to look at the big picture, though, because although it does suck that they've obviously rejected the money and said by the tour, and now we've ended up going into merger, it's going forward. They're going to make a lot more money and have a lot more opportunity.
Yeah.
And I know that it's hard to look past the immediate reaction to the news today, but in the coming years, being a professional golfer is not a tough job, and they're going to be making a lot more money than they would have been making before. So it's only a positive thing for all of them. And I hope that they see that and they don't have any bitterness towards the LIV players that went. And they, you know, welcome them back and welcome Phil Mickelson and Bryson DeChambeau and those lads back, because that's what golf needs, is united front with the top players. And yeah, I just hope that happens.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's going to be, I don't think the heartache amongst the players is, I mean, I think for the most part, they're fine with each other. You know, I think it is what it is, and they respect each other, and, you know, they did what they did, right? You make your decisions. What's best for you? I think the heartache is going to be to the establishment, and it's going to be to the league and the decisions that are being made. Now the merger, and what does that mean? All right, maybe, yeah. So there's going to be more money. That's great. But at the end of the day, you got to take care of yourself, and the decisions that you make, you have to take care of yourself, you know? And I think that loyalty in today's world, I'm not sure what the value is, to be quite honest with you. Like, I'm not sure there's much value in business when it comes to loyalty, especially if you're an independent contractor like these players are.
Well, that's just how business works. Like, I thought I had a business deal the other week where I was going to make loads of money out of it, and I didn't, because they went somewhere else and completely stitched me up. That's just the way it goes.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, that's just business. And it happens with, like, there'll be loads of people out there watching this right now that are involved in business, that even their friends and family have stitched them up, because that's just how it works. Like, business is business, and it shouldn't be personal. And I hope that, yeah, people see that when, and going forwards, the game can unite, because it needs to. Mm-hmm. And it'll be amazing if everyone works together with this opportunity that they have. I just can't wait to see where the game goes in the coming years. I just think it's going to be, as a golf nut, the same as you, like, this is just a historic time in our sport, and I just it can't is. Wait to see where it goes.
It is. I really can't. Well said. Historical time in our sport. As you mentioned, PGA Tour, DP World Tour, the PIF, LIV announced they have newly formed a commercial entity to unify golf. Flush, thank you for joining me.
Travis, thanks, man.
Stretch Go Pod, man. Hey, we'll do it again. We got plenty to talk about now. Okay.
One day I'll come over and get a lesson from you. I need to get my ball speed up.
So. Yes, come over here and get a lesson. I'll put up another stool right here, and we'll just do the pod live here in the studio.
That'd be sweet. All right, man. Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
All right, take care.
Cheers. Bye-bye.